It's been a great song service. Particularly love that Agnus Dei. That's one of my favorite songs. I didn't ask him to sing that, so I was fired up. That was a little treat for me to encourage me. And you can't sing that song and not just fall down and worship God. It's just beautiful. Be turning in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm coming. I feel like the Spirit is moving. You know, the things that Joseph shared in the welcome and in his class on Wednesday just kind of go into what I'm talking about today and what Scott shared in the lesson as well. I didn't do that on purpose, so I just feel like it's from God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 11, it says, "But you, men of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." If you were here a few weeks ago when I spoke, I talked about this passage, and we were speaking about pursuing kingdom treasures. We spoke of fleeing from the pursuit of worldly treasures, fleeing from sin, and instead pursuing kingdom treasures. Like it says here, pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. See, worldly treasures come and go. Pleasure is short-lived. But these spiritual treasures are priceless because they help us take hold of the eternal life to which we were called. They have eternal value. So I want to continue that theme today, part two, I guess. Specifically, I want to speak about pursuing faith. We need to pursue faith. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. I love this passage, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." You know, it says here that the end result of our faith is the salvation of our souls. That's awesome. It says that through faith we are shielded by God's power until the coming of our salvation. Elsewhere, It tells us to take up the shield of faith. It also says here that our faith will result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. It says that through faith, we are able to greatly rejoice even though we suffer in trials. And not only do we rejoice, it says that even though we do not see Him, we believe and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. That's what faith does. It says here that our faith is of greater worth than gold. It's priceless. Typically, we speak of gold as the most valuable thing. Perhaps diamonds, we could have said, of greater worth than diamonds. I don't know if they had diamonds back then. But it's worth more than anything this world can give us. We need to pursue faith. Now, can you say this verse describes your reaction to trials? Can you say you greatly rejoice even though you suffer grief? Can you say you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy even though you don't see what God is doing? You need to pursue faith. I realized recently that I needed to pursue faith. And that's what I've been studying out. That's why we're talking about it. Because I realized that I couldn't really say that. I wasn't able to rejoice. I realized that I was discouraged when I couldn't see my prayers being answered. And so I need to pursue faith. I think discouragement is synonymous with a lack of faith. Hebrews 11 says that faith is what? Being sure of what you hope for. Certain of what you do not see. Many of you were reciting it. We know that verse, right? When you're sure of something, you don't get discouraged about it. I was watching a Hawks game with the kids the other day. Go Hawks. They're doing awesome. We couldn't finish it, but we had it on DVR. And they were losing big, all right? I thought of erasing it. But, you know, they've had a lot of comebacks, so I kept it. But before we could watch the end of it, I heard that they won. Don't you hate it when that happens? Don't tell me! So, it was a very different experience watching it when it seemed like they were going to lose than when they were getting blown out, but I knew they were going to win. They were going to pull it out somehow. It's just, you know, that didn't take any faith now. But faith has that same effect. Where you say, you know what? God's got this. I'm not worried about it. And you have peace. And you can rejoice greatly, even though you do not see. It's a glorious and inexpressible joy because you can't explain it. It's not about circumstances, like Joel was talking about. But you know, you're sure you will receive the end result of your faith. We need to pursue faith. Now, when we spoke last time of this idea of pursuing, right? Faith, godliness, righteousness, love. I mentioned that the Greek word used here for pursue, dioko, is a very aggressive word. Sometimes, based on context, translated as persecute. It communicates a great focus and intensity in pursuing a goal. I think sometimes we think of faith, or we tell people to have faith, and we just think of it as a switch you can flip and have faith, right? And while there is something to be said for making that decision, right? Deciding to have faith, Paul tells us faith is something to be pursued. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 to make every effort to add to our faith. And it talks about other qualities as well. But he tells us that we want to have faith in increasing measure. So faith is not just flipping a switch, but it's something we should be growing in. Something we should be pursuing. But now, how do we do that? That's kind of like an abstract idea. Pursue faith. What does that mean? Well, let's talk about it. First of all, we need to hear the message. Look in Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. Romans 10, starting in verse 14. I still hear the pages turning. Romans 10, 14 says this: how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Now this here talks about the stages of how God reaches out to us. God sends someone into our lives. They preach His message. We decide to hear the message. We believe and we respond. And it talks about how even some people that were not seeking Him find Him. Others He reaches out to all day long, but they don't accept the message. Now, I remember how this played out originally in my life, and there's probably a little bit of both. I was 20 years old, as unspiritual as you could be, or maybe not. I guess you could always be worse, but I was going in that direction, let's just say. I was not seeking God in any way, shape, or form. And yet, for whatever reason, that's when God reached out to me. A fellow college student invited me to church, and I saw something I hadn't seen before, even though I had been to church before. But I felt God was calling me. It was something I hadn't felt. And so when my friend invited me to study the Bible, I said yes. I took that next step in the stage there. Now, I may not have understood it in those terms, but I was pursuing faith. That was that first step, that next step. There were other steps. I had to accept. I had to believe. I had to respond to the message many times. And there were times where I was more like the disobedient and obstinate person who didn't want to accept. But that series of next steps saved my life. And perhaps some of you here are here for the first time. Let me encourage you to pursue faith. Take the next step. God is reaching out to you personally. He's sending people into your life. Hear the message. Pursue faith. Maybe you've been coming out for a while and not responding. If you're here, God is still reaching out to you. Don't be like the disobedient and obstinate people that refused to accept the message and clung to their old ways. You know, Hebrews 4 says the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Coming to church will not do you any good if you don't respond to the message. But God is offering you a better way, the way of faith. And we need to pursue that way. Now, this process of God reaching out to us doesn't just happen once in our lives. So I'm not just talking to the visitors today. God continually reaches out to us. He continues to speak to us. He puts people in our lives for a reason. He wants us to accept the message and grow in our faith. So we need to continue to pursue faith and not just leave it at that one time long ago when I got baptized. And it says here that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And the question is, what message are you hearing? When you struggle in your faith, where do you go? Where do you turn to? I hope God's word is high on the list. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, "The scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Look in Psalm 119. I love this psalm. I can't read all of it. It's very long. But I'll give you a representative sample. Of David's heart, in verse 92, Psalm 119, 92, says, "If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I may obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And we could go on. The whole psalm has this feel, this sense that David's response to affliction was to find strength in God's word. And that's what kept him faithful. And we need to pursue faith like David did. God speaks to us. He says, God himself taught me. God speaks to us in our affliction through his word, and our faith grows. Look in Romans chapter 1. Back to Romans. Maybe I should have told you to keep your finger there. But we know our Bibles, right? We need to hear the message. In Romans 1, verse 8. It says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. We need to hear the message, and we need to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. You know, God has given us each other. He has put people in our lives that can help us grow in our faith. But we have to pursue it. The question is your attitude like Paul's? I long to see you so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Do you have those mutually encouraging relationships? Do you seek them out? There are people here that have kept me faithful when I'm discouraged over the years. Those are my closest friends. Who are you closest to? Who do you seek out? Is it the guys you watch football with? Not that there's anything wrong with that. Maybe you could do both. I had to throw football in there for Kendall. Or is it the people that encourage your faith and help you make it to heaven? We got to seek those relationships out. Especially in discouragement. Sometimes we react the other way. You know, when we're not doing good, we don't want to talk to anybody. That's not going to help you grow in your faith. You know, my wife is certainly one of those relationships for me where we mutually encourage each other's faith. I hope that's going on in our marriages. But you know, she also knows who are the brothers that can help me. Sometimes the way she encourages me is by talking to one of those brothers. Okay, so I'm not the only one. I've told her many times, she has my permission to do that. Hopefully she talked to me first, not just surprising me. That's important as well, sisters. But to stay faithful and grow in our faith, we need to seek that encouragement. And we need to be a source of encouragement. You know, it's easier to get to have those relationships if it's mutually encouraging, right? Where you're doing the encouraging as well. Because then you seek each other out. And you forge those relationships in the heat of helping each other. Scott talked about praise from men in his class today. That's not the kind of encouragement I'm talking about. Although, you know, sometimes it helps to get encouraged that way. But I'm talking about when your thoughts are betraying you, when that deceitful heart is deceiving you, and you're your own worst enemy, and you need to get your head right and your heart right. And someone else can help point you to God, point you to the Scriptures, and help you with your thinking. That's the mutually encouraging relationships I'm talking about. Look in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10:32. Says, remember those earlier days after you'd received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew, there's that being sure again, you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. So we need to hear the message. We need to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, and we need to persevere. You know, that is the context of Hebrews 11. Sometimes we go to the Faith Hall of Fame independently, which is fine. It's a great passage on faith. But the context of this famous verse on faith is that of perseverance. The whole letter of Hebrews was encouraging the church to persevere in persecution and trials. We're talking in Spanish Bible Talk on Friday about how it is that we learn spiritual qualities and we grow. And it started off talking about self-control and how we learn self-control by being in situations that require it. You don't learn self-control when you don't need it. And then it just kind of changed to this idea of trusting God and faith. And a sister talked about how her trust in God grew so much when she was in a severe illness. Because it's like working out. Those faith muscles grow by being exercised. When it's easy, faith is not really exercised. Like watching the game when you already heard the results. So perspective helps us too. We can realize that this is an opportunity for God to glorify Himself in hardship. It's an opportunity for our faith to grow when we persevere. Joseph got me a little bit on Wednesday when he defined perseverance, talking about being steadfast in difficulty or delay in obtaining success. That second part is the one that got me. See, we usually associate perseverance with hardship, but I often have more trouble with delay. I don't want to wait. My friend Juan Carlos, JC, we know him, he's in Tijuana now, used to say that when he lined up to receive patients, the line was too long. So he left, right? But we don't like to wait. Well, you're not going to get a lot of patients without waiting. And you're not going to get a lot of faith without trying that faith, exercising that faith. You know, the author here is in part quoting Habakkuk 2. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read you an excerpt here where it says, "Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by faith." If you study out Habakkuk, you will see that it's a dialogue between the prophet and God. And it starts with Habakkuk asking, "How long must I call for help and you don't listen?" That's an honest question. I might be scared God will strike me down. But God tells him there is no delay. There is an appointed time. See, delay is how we perceive it. When we don't see God's answer. And we don't have faith that He is working. That there is an appointed time. And the answer will be revealed at that proper time. And not at our time. And back in Hebrews, in the chapter 11 Faith Hall of Fame, some of the heroes mentioned are men who had to wait for a long time. Abraham was age 100 when Isaac was born. 25 years after God first called him and made him that promise. 25 years waiting for the answer to his prayer. Moses was called to go back to Egypt at 80 years old after 40 years in the desert in exile. But these are some of the greatest examples of faith in the Scriptures. And I think that amazing faith was forged through that patience, through waiting. You've been praying for a few months. And you're already discouraged? That might be, that's the great crowd of witnesses. That might be what Moses might say, or Abraham. Even a few years, you don't see God's answer. Don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Pursue faith. Choose to believe. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God. See, we don't like that part either. There is a will of God. There is something that God is trying to do through this situation. But you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. And that answer will be even sweeter because of the wait. A friend of mine back in the campus ministry a long time ago now used to say, it will be more glorious in the end. In a game, sports, it's like when you win by a beatdown, I guess it's okay, but it's sweeter when you had to really work for it and you came back and you thought all was lost and there was a field goal with 0 seconds or a basket to win the game and the whole place, you know, and you go from down here to up here. That was for you, Kendall. It's even sweeter because of the wait. And it's an opportunity to pursue faith. So let's decide to pursue faith. Let's hear God's message. Let's be encouraged by each other's faith. And let's persevere in trials. These trials have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. God bless you all.
Romans 14:19 says, let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. I hope we were encouraged this morning. Let's give a hand to all the men that encouraged us this morning. I hope that we make sure that we guard our faith, that we take care of our faith, because when it's all said and done, that's all we have. And the Holy Spirit moved powerfully this morning, this afternoon. So let's, again, thank God that we have men and women that are wholly filled with God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this day. The Father, we could come together and worship you with spirit and truth. The Father, you truly are moving powerfully in your kingdom. The Father, thank you for the message this morning from Scott, Father, for encouraging us with his faith in the lesson that he taught us. Thank you for the communion message that Thomas Hood brought to us, Father, that encourages us as well. And thank you for the lesson on faith by Danny, Father. And I just pray that we, you know, take to heart everything that we heard this morning. That, Father, we apply it to our very lives, Father. And that, Father, you give us the strength. You give us the courage. You give us the endurance to hold on no matter what circumstances come our way. Father, help us to never leave you, never forsake you, no matter what we're faced with, Father. Help us to add to our faith goodness, into goodness knowledge, into knowledge self-control, into self-control love, Father. We need it, Father, because when it's all said and done, Father, without faith, we cannot please you. We love you so very much. We thank you for all that you do and all that you are in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.